Well, I'm joined by a man now who's not as busy as he probably would be. He was telling me he was sitting down to watch Marine and Tottenham Hotspur, Vincent Hogan. Strange times, Vincent, for sport. And I suppose when we look back at the J, they got their act together. We did well in Wexford. We ran off the Hurling and Football Championship. We played football in one block. We played hurling in another block. And you know what? Maybe at the end of COVID, maybe the J will have a look at the way they're organising their games, and we might have a shorter inter-county period, perhaps from anything, to save burnout from players and maybe to save money. Good to talk to you. There's a couple of topics just to get you going.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's already looking, the plan is to flip straight back into inter-county again, Liam. You know, at the end of February, the leagues are supposed to be up and running. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen, because this wave of COVID that we're in at the moment seems to be placing an asterisk under everything. I think it's great listening anecdotally to club players talking about, you know, their experience in 2020 was much more positive than it would have been previously, and that's great. But I do wonder about the logic of the GA almost, you know, conceding nearly July, August and September in terms of their most marketable games. And I'm not sure about the logic of it personally. I think just as soccer and rugby are going to be kicking in, the GAA is going to be done and dusted as far as the highest profile games are concerned. Not sure about the logic of that, but it remains to be seen if that's what happens, of course, because right now there's very little chance of there being crowds at any event in the short term anyway. And I'm beginning to wonder about another GAA inter-county season without crowds. Does that make sense as well? Right now, it's very hard to second guess anything that's coming, because everything is under that cloud of COVID.
There's worse to counteract what you're saying, Vincent. We had a fantastic championship in Wexford, and I was fortunate enough to be at so many games. And really, you forgot about inter-county because the standard was much better, because the county players weren't burned out coming back to play with their clubs in the championship. So I'm looking at it from a different angle, perhaps.
No, and I think that's a very legitimate angle to look at it from. And as long as we've been alive nearly, Liam, we've been talking about the raw deal the club player gets in the GA. And that was addressed almost by accident in 2020. And that's no bad thing. And that's what I was saying anecdotally. The club experience, not just in Wexford, but in almost every county, was way, way better. And I don't pretend to have a solution to a perfect GA season. I'm just talking about it from a marketing point of view, that I wonder, are they sure about what they're doing? But yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I think the GA, the club experience in 2020 was far superior to anything it had been.
And we did play games eventually. And I suppose the two teams that we would have expected, if there hadn't have been COVID, to win hurling football, Limerick and Dublin, it happened anyway.
Yeah, big time. I mean, if you look at the hurling, I mean, Limerick were, I think when the league shut down in March, they were 5-5 from their games, and looking really impressive. And I think, you know, most Limerick players certainly would feel that complacency cut them out last year. That, you know, what we've seen from them since winning in 2018 is we've seen them win two Munster championships and two national leagues, and they got caught probably in the first half of the All-Ireland semi-final in 2019 against Kilkenny. And Kilkenny doing what nobody does better, just the pure intensity catching Limerick off guard. And they still, I suppose, when you think about it, you know, they should have got a 65 at the very end of that match that would have drawn the game. So Limerick definitely went into this season on a mission, I felt. And they had all the signs of it in the league, and then the league stopped. But they resumed straight away with that Munster Championship game against Clare that doubled as the league final. And they won it, I felt, in third gear. I think they got 30-odd points. And they were just hugely impressive all through. And even in the All-Ireland semi-final against Galway, even though Galway were close to them, I thought Limerick were almost hurling within themselves, Liam. Always looked like they were going to win it to me, particularly when Joe Canning went off. And they're a very impressive outfit, there's no doubt about it. And the same thing with Dublin. Again, no great dramatics with Dublin winning their All-Ireland, but then again, winning Leinster for Dublin is a bit of a cakewalk. And then they had Cavan in an All-Ireland semi-final. So for Desi Farrell's first year, it was a pretty easy run into a final where we saw Mayo then being magnificently intense, but just running out of steam.
Yeah, a funny year. And somebody said to me the other day that the conditions that Limerick were playing in, you know, that suited their bigger men, the faster ball in the summer, mightn't have suited them as well. But I don't think I'd agree with that argument. I think they're a very strong, solid team.
I wouldn't agree with it at all, Liam. I think the one thing all of those guys can do is hurl. You look at what they've done with Kyle Hayes, shifting him back to wing back, and he's just a magnificent athlete. But a guy who has it, you know, who can hurl as well as anyone in the country, and then the risks of a Kean Lynch or whatever. Look, they're a magnificent hurling team. They're not a particularly thrilling team to watch, I'd say, because they sometimes don't seem to have much of an interest in going for goals. Whereas the likes of a Kilkenny or Tipperary, when they're, you know, at the top of the tree, there's a tendency to go for the juggler. Limerick are more content to pick you off from distance. So it's a different kind of thing. And it's very similar to the Dublin football team, I think. There's a huge level of efficiency and tactical smarts there. But sometimes you think, you get the impression they're almost in second or third gear.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Wexford and Davy? You know, disappointing. He's been judged on two games unfairly, in my opinion, but rather flat performance. He needs new players. A tough challenge for him. He says it's his last year coming with us. What are your views on Wexford's chances and the Davy influence?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It was a terribly disappointing year. That, you know, the games against Galway and then Clare, they were just so well beaten. But I think what was really disappointing was there was a flatness in Wexford in this year. But for everyone, it was a kind of a guessing game, you know, in terms of S&C and getting things right. And I do think that a factor that can't be disregarded with Wexford is the number of dual players they have and the number of players that had a dual championship to play before intercounty started with their clubs. And I don't know if that impacted on them, but you know, I sometimes don't think it's fair to judge Wexford against the Kilkennys of this world where they don't have those issues. I thought Wexford looked really flat. A lot of the players almost looked tired to me in those games, and I don't know if that was a factor.
Yeah, to back up what you were saying, Vincent, 18 of Davy Fitzgerald's squad were playing in the senior football semi-finals when he was trying to train, I suppose, when other counties were back training.
Yeah, and I think you know as well as I do, Liam, hurling, God, you have to be hurling nearly every hour of every day to get ready for the biggest matches. And look, the idea that Davy was cut out tactically or anything, that's nonsense to me. I think what we saw from Wexford in 2019, some of their hurling was exhilarating. And, you know, I remember particularly as a Tipp man watching the first half hour against Tipp in the All-Ireland semi-final in 2019. And Tipp were at sixes and sevens. They didn't know what to do with Wexford, with fellas running. You know, we saw Liam Ryan get a sensational score, you know, from right half forward position. When your fullback is doing that, you know, that's not negative hurling, Liam. That's a license to go. And I just think, bear with Davy for this last year, I'd say, and judge him then. But I think by any measure, he's been good for Wexford, and Wexford has been very good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Vincent, when I have you on, the other major sports, I suppose, in Ireland, rugby and soccer, struggling to a certain degree. If rugby, in particular, the professional game, doesn't get bums on seats and people through the turnstiles, it's very difficult. It's in a difficult place at the moment, isn't it?
Ah, it is, Liam. I mean, we're only weeks away from the Six Nations. If it goes ahead as planned, I think we're away to Wales in our first game. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation. It looks like there's very little chance of the Lions tour to South Africa happening this summer. And some people suggesting should the Six Nations try to stall the digger there and wait for that slot, because then they might have a chance of getting crowds in. Now, I don't know. My information is that it's the unions are opposed to that. Again, there's TV deals to be honoured, and it's a very, very tricky time for professional rugby. And Philip Brown you know, he kind of articulated this very early in the year that they need the crowds in. And without the crowds, you know, you think of all the rugby contracts that are coming up for renewal, some of the biggest names in Irish rugby, their contracts are up for renewal. And you know, for the players, it must be a very disconcerting time because they know that the unions are becoming more and more cash-strapped. So, again, right now we're in the middle of this pandemic and vaccinations are being rolled out rather slowly as far as I can see. So this could run and run, and it's debatable how long the professional model can sustain this.
Of course, we know that soccer has been struggling in Ireland at a professional level. League of Ireland clubs struggling to survive anyway without COVID ever appearing on the horizon. Stephen Kenny, I suppose you look at the national team, which you cover, the internationals, a non-plus start for him, but I think he deserves to be given a chance, doesn't he?
He does. I think he was desperately unlucky for the key game. The key game was the Slovakia, the playoff, and you know, not having Aaron Connolly, who, you know, is the one player playing Premier League who looks to have something about him, certainly in the top end of the pitch. He's an exciting young player, and to be denied him that night when I thought the Irish performance was excellent, and I thought they played some...
They're trying to play a football under Kenny, aren't they? You could argue that they haven't under previous managers. It's been very negative.
It's very negative, and I think I admire him for that, and I thought the performance in Slovakia that night lacked nothing but a goal. And, you know, they were very unlucky to lose out on penalties. I think he'd be judged very differently, say, if he did get into a playoff and maybe played Northern Ireland in that playoff final. You'd have fancied their chances nearly. So, but he's really struggling, man, because I think it's at the top end of the pitch that you're kind of thinking, where's our next Robbie Keane? And Robbie Keane was a once-in-a-generation striker for us when you think of all the goals he got. And... It's desperate for Kenny now. He's lost his number three, if you like, in Damien Duff. Suggestions that Duff is just very, very frustrated with the conduct of the FAI over that famous pre-match speech before the England game a few months ago. And I don't know what the truth of it is, but to lose Duff, who anecdotally was really well got with the players, they really loved the sessions he ran, and you know that's the word from Celtic as well, that he was really, really good at running an efficient session and good in one-on-one situations with players as well. And, you know, for Kenny, a lot of speculation will he go to Vinnie Perth now for his next number three. I don't know. I suspect he's got to bring in someone who's got, you know, top flight level in England to get the ear of players, because he's, you know, he's got Keith Andrews as his number two. But it's a very difficult time for him, and it's so hard, Liam. It's so hard to qualify for a World Cup as distinct from the European Championships. The odds are really stacked against him, even though it wasn't the worst group imaginable that we got. But the odds are stacked against him, and they're starting that campaign away to Serbia, which is probably the toughest game they're going to have in the group. And, you know, if I would just love to see him get maybe a draw out of that and kickstart something. But they need goals, and it's very hard to see where the goals are going to come from.
Absolutely. Well, Vincent, let's hope that we will have a sport to watch. It's a very trying time, and of course, we should qualify everything sport as an aside from all the people that sadly passed away because of COVID. And thanks for taking the call, and stay safe. You work from home mostly anyway, so nothing new for you, I suppose, from that point of view, when the paper is still out every day, which is good news for ye.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Liam. You know, we're frustrated because we're not getting sport as we know it. Far more important things affected by COVID. Lives been lost, livelihoods been lost. So you're dead right. I mean, we have to keep things in perspective. But I do think sport has been good for mental health for a lot of people. You know, the GAA Championship being run off, I think that was absolutely vital for people to have something to watch. And, you know, fingers crossed we'll get something going again this year in all the sports. I think we'll have to be patient probably for the next 5 or 6 weeks, but then hopefully things will open up and the vaccinations will start kicking in.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the call, Vince, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Same to you and all your listeners, Liam.